Hi, I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell, and this is Totally Normal About That, a podcast where we explore various pieces of queer media and the things we love, hate, and love to hate about them. This week, we're feeling totally normal about Friends and Family Christmas. Let's dive in.
This movie is super cute, and I definitely really enjoyed it. It's nice to see more of these Christmas movies and, like, see all of the different fun tropes that they employ, and fake dating is definitely one that I like a lot, so I was excited to watch this one.
I love a fake dating AU when I read fanfic. Like, it's so much fun, and so this was definitely right up my alley, although I have to say, like, could they have come up with a more boring movie name?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I felt like the movie title, like, I mean, it's not that it didn't apply, but it just, like, didn't feel like the point of the movie, per se. Like,
right, like, it didn't feel like it was a movie about, like, hey, actually, it's okay to just do the holidays with your friends and your family. Like, you don't need to be in a, like, it, I would have more expected Friends and Family Christmas to be a movie about, like, a group of friends who are all single, who get together for the holidays or whatever.
Right.
Out, not like a movie where the Holligays need to step up their naming game, because the Christmas setup was also not a great name. And now we have Friends.
Because they weren't really set up.
No.
Now
we have, this would be more of the Christmas setup, honestly. Like, I had to double check to remind myself, because this movie features one of my new favorite tropes, which is over-invested dads.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. They should switch names, because the other one would have made more sense as Friends and Family Christmas, and this one would have made more sense as the Christmas setup, and, like, it just, I could understand it better as a naming choice if this movie was about, like, all of their friends and family pressuring them to be with someone, but it was, like, just the parents, and it wasn't that much pressure to actually be in a relationship. It was just their parents wanting them to, like, slow down and enjoy Christmas.
Right.
And, like, they use the fake dating just as, like, a way to, like, kind of get their parents off their back about Christmas a little bit, but it wasn't, like, I don't know. It's fine. It's very cute. The name just, like, is a choice.
Right. So I just have to say, like, come on, holiday movies. This is not your best work. You can come up with something better. Work a little harder. But, I mean, it was a cute movie. Like, I was watching it, and I had sort of the happy squee feelings of joy about this movie, because it was genuinely very cute, and we don't have as many sapphic movies. Holiday movies in general, so, like, it was fun to get that, and, like, they were cute, even if I have some questions about the order in which they choose to conduct their relationship.
Yeah, I appreciate that we have two women who are out to their family and very much loved and, like, accepted by their family, and, like, the pressure to be in the situation and everything is not in part, like, due to, I don't know, like, an intention to manipulate their family or, like, lie to them or anything about, like, who they are or their identity or whatever. It's literally just, like, we're very busy and not quite ready to, like, jump into a new relationship over the holidays, so we're just gonna kind of, like, make our parents not worry about us quite so much. In Daniela's case, like, it was also, she's just so busy and she doesn't want her parents to, like, I don't know, like, feel bothered, I guess, or, like, like, upset for her that she's got so much going on. So, although I don't know how adding a girlfriend to the mix made her less busy.
It didn't.
But
it didn't.
We could definitely give her more things to do, but, you know.
right. I mean, because the whole thing is Danielle's parents are worried because they're like, you're not coming home for the holidays. Like, you work too hard. You need to do something fun and, like, have someone right. to be around. And Amelia's dad is like, it's been a year of pining over your ex. It's really time to get a move on here, please.
Right. Well, and he's, I think he's just like, at least try to, like, put yourself out there. And I'm not, like, I don't think he was expecting her to, like, get a girlfriend, but he was just like, try to connect with someone. Try to do something. Try to not mope over Christmas. And I'm like, okay. I mean, a little pushy, but, like, I guess it worked out for her. I do appreciate that, like, the dads are friends from college, and, like, that's a whole thing. And, like,
I'm obsessed with the fact that these dads were college roommates, and now, however many decades later, they have decided that their main goal in life is to get their children to date.
Yes, and, like, they're like, actually really good at it.
We've got, like, well, because we've got recently retired Daniela's dad. And business lawyer, because this is, again, a movie featuring a lawyer gay. A legal lesbian, one might say. But so, her lawyer dad, they're like, hey, what
if... preparing to retire.
Right. So they're like, you know what? We have too much time on our hands. I have an idea for what we can do.
I love that it's dad's meddling, too. Like,
I'm so into it. Like, I love it.
Amelia's mom is not around, and Daniela's mom meddles, but her meddling is like, I'm gonna go where my daughter is because I want to see my daughter for Christmas. She's not worried about, like, necessarily interfering in her love life as much.
No, she's much more concerned with that she wants to be involved. She's like, I could be there too.
Right. Right. She's like, I want to spend Christmas with my daughter.
I will say,
I love the meddling dads. It's such a nice twist on that trope.
I will say, I think it's very funny when Daniela's mom is like, we can go to New York, and her dad's like, I don't know about that. And then they get there and they're both like, hi.
Right, we showed up without telling
it's like,
you.
Oh, okay, so you're just on board. Like, that's fine.
Okay, so again, the movie is called Friends and Family Christmas. We have, you know, family for both parties. Let's talk a little bit about their friends. Because one of the things that's notable to me is Amelia basically has hardly any friends. Like, right. She basically has her one friend who works in the law office with her, Quinn. Whereas Danny has, like, a number of friends that she spends time with. Including her roommate Tanner, and then Kylie, who she, like, volunteers with. And she also has Lisa, who's, like, her mentor, and, like, all of these other people in her life. And, like, I'm curious kind of what you thought about it, because I had some thoughts about it.
Well, Daniela is working at, like, this, she's got this, like, internship or fellowship situation where she is working at, like, what seems like an art collective kind of deal, or like a studio. So she's, like, doing art stuff, and it makes a lot of sense to me that she has found sort of a community this way. Like, this is a very common thing you see with, like, people who do art, is they find other people who do art. And so, like, she's got this sort of group of people she works with who she's gotten quite close with because they have this thing in common. And they all have sort of, like, a common cause, which is that they want to do this big whatever they're doing. There's at some point there's karaoke at one of these events, which does every holiday movie need to involve some form of karaoke happening? I think so. That seems to be a common trend. But Amelia works in a very different sort of setting. Like, she's a lawyer. She's working really hard on her career, on, like, her career and moving toward promotion, towards partner and stuff like that, even if she doesn't necessarily actually want exactly that at times. And so, like, to me, it makes sense that she is focused less on community building. And she also works with her dad, which I think means that it is harder to make genuine friendships and connections.
Okay. First of all, I think it's hilarious that you pointed out that every holiday movie, like gay movie, has karaoke in it, because I immediately started thinking back to every movie that we've covered on this show so far, and literally every one of them has karaoke in it, and that's so funny to me.
There's all, like, everyone is like, you know what people love at the holidays? Karaoke.
Karaoke. Holiday I have karaoke.
Never done karaoke at the holidays. I'm sorry.
That's just so funny to me that every single one of the movies that we've covered has a karaoke scene in it. I love that. I think you're right. I think what's interesting to me is, like, for Amelia, I have questions about her lack of friends, because I feel like it's possible it's related to her breakup with Margot as well. Mm. Like, because they worked together, and then, you know, Margot obviously quit and left and did all the things, but, like, I feel like if you're in a serious relationship with someone and you guys share friends and then you split up, sometimes you, like, divide up the friends.
Yeah, who gets who in the friend divorce.
Right, and if Amelia was, the reason that Margot left was because Amelia was not emotionally available to her partner because she was so focused on work, it's very possible that she also wasn't emotionally available to her friends. And so they felt distant from her and may have lost some of those connections because of that.
That's so real, yeah.
They don't really, like, explore that a lot in the movie, but I feel like it definitely could be a thing to consider, is, like, she didn't just lose her girlfriend. She also doesn't seem to have a lot of support network outside of her dad and her one friend at work. So she clearly is, like, very lonely and, like, isolating herself. Whereas, like you said, Dani has a lot of friends and a lot of connection because she's working with all of these artists at this this lab to, like, you know, develop her talent and whatever. But also, she has a very close relationship with her roommate Tanner. But her other friendships, like, I don't want to say they're transactional, but they're, like, they're surface level. Like,
right.
They've bonded because basically they work on this stuff together and they're doing these projects together, but she doesn't seem very close to a lot of these people. And she seems like she's, as her parents point out, like, stretching herself very thin. It seems clear to me that she doesn't have good boundaries and
certainly
is, like,
does not, in fact.
Does not. And, like, at the end of the day, she's more focused on, like, doing things for people than necessarily doing things with people.
Yeah. I think I agree with that.
So, like, even though Dani seems to have quite a few friends and Amelia has very, like, basically no one, I don't feel like either of them have very many actual, like, points of support right. in their life.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Other than the sort of the parents they have. And even, like, we see that Amelia's dad is genuinely very supportive, but doesn't seem to quite know what she wants. Or they mm-hmm. don't have the, like, it takes her until the end of the movie to sort of be like, actually, I think what I want to yeah. do is not this thing. I want to, and he's like, she's like, I know what I need to do is I need to be a lawyer for artists because they always get screwed over. No one has ever been a lawyer for an artist before. Certainly, I will be the first one ever. And her dad's like, oh my god, no one's ever thought of this. What an intriguing, right. incredible idea. And I'm like,
sure, yeah, okay.
Let's go with that. Cool. Yeah, let's not, we'll not, we won't examine, we'll not examine that or unpack too closely.
That. Yeah. It's also interesting because they both, like, take they both take after a parent. So, I mean, like, Amelia, obviously, her dad is a lawyer and she is a lawyer. And Dani, her mom, is a writer and, like, very creative. And so she's also very creative, but, you know, her focus is photography. But I do find it really interesting that her dad is, like, a math guy. Like, I just like that, I don't know, I like that there's, like, both of those things kind of going on there, and that he is more, like, science and math focused, because I just think it's fun, like, it's easy to go with, like, she has, like, two very, like, accomplished creative parents, but, like, yes, they both are, but, like, not, like, in very different ways. So, it, like, she's not necessarily in, directly walking in, like, their shadow.
And it actually makes a lot of sense to me that her dad's, like, a math person. Because she's into, like, Danielle's a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that feels very connect, like, photography and math feel like they have, I don't know, I don't want to say they're similar, but in their sort of respective disciplines, they feel sort of similar. I don't know. Maybe that makes no sense to anyone except for me. Just.
No, I think it just requires, like, both things require, like, a certain type of thinking.
Right. And, like, strong attention to detail and, like.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. I don't know. I think it's really fun. And it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, like, people can be roommates with anybody, and, like, you don't have to have anything in common to be their roommate in college. But I feel like there's something too about the fact that, like, her dads were roommates and are very close. That one of them is, like, a mathematician and one of them is, like, a lawyer, that they're just two fields that would have required, like, not only a lot of discipline, but, like, a lot of study and a lot of time in school. And it seems like the way they're describing it is they were roommates, like, for a while. They weren't, like, oh, we were roommates for a term, or we were roommates for a year. Like, they
it
were.
It did make it sound like roommates, they were, like,
through college.
Roommates the whole time, whatever. And then stayed close after. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, like, nice to imagine that, I guess, and think about, like, what that means for them, because obviously they are good friends, like you said, decades later, but that does raise the question then that Dani and Amelia have never met, like,
yeah, I mean, I think, I wonder, it's one of those kinds of friendships where, like, I don't know, because it also doesn't seem like they've ever even heard of each other.
Right, like,
and so part of me wonders if, like, they're the college friends who have, like, not really kept in touch that well, but right. Also have the kind of friendship where you can just, like, jump back into it after a while. So, like, they sometimes are in touch, but they're not, like, they've never gone on, like, family vacations together.
Right, because they're not, like, teenagers or even, like, oh, we're, you know, 20 or whatever. Like, Amelia is an established attorney who is looking to become partner at this firm. Like, it's not like she's 22. And they're also not phrasing it as, like, do you remember this person's daughter who you've maybe met once or twice or, like, who I've talked about? It's like, oh, my friend has a daughter. And I'm like,
right.
It's just, I don't know. It's just something funny that, like, stood out to me. I was like, oh, they're really good friends. Are they good friends? What is the dynamic here?
Have they met?
I do think their meet cute is, like, really cute, in part because it's so awkward. And, like, I appreciate that.
It's so real.
This movie,
though.
At least, is, like, you can fall in love with someone even if you don't, like, immediately have that connection with them. Like, you can be very different and, like, come to have that, like, love and connection with them.
Right.
Because they're so awkward.
They're so awkward. Oh my god. I think one of the things that was a little frustrating about this movie, was how quickly it was, like, their first date they meet and they're like, or this first meeting or whatever, and they're like immediately not on the same page, but I don't know, maybe there's some chemistry there and they have a fine time and they're like, this is great, let's never do this again.
Right. And
then basically we get so little development of the fact that they're developing feelings for each other, and then it's the end. I mean, like, we see it, but they're not really, like, talking to anybody about it until close to the end when it's like, you have to go after her and be together forever. I want to come home to you. You just met.
Yeah, we really jump from, like, disinterested to we're soulmates really quickly. I liked their relationship, but I think the end actually kind of threw me off a little bit. Like, or surprised me, I guess, with the direction they took, because I felt like the more logical thing to do would have been to say, I want to try dating for real and right. see where this goes. Like I do think we have something here, and I think it's worth, like, making the effort for, but it felt like they skipped a step or two, like,
yeah,
and jumped straight to, no, we belong together.
Yeah, what did you think of the twist of, like, my very first day in New York, I took a photo of you, a person I didn't know, sitting on a bench. It's meant to be.
I mean, I get it. She's a photographer and she takes pictures of people. I feel like if you're going to use pictures of people, there's expectations about, like, permission and consent and everything to, like, have a photo with them in it. And so, again, it's weird that she didn't ask or, like, again, ever talk to this person before.
Right. And the whole, like, then she's developing, she's like, oh my god, it's always been you. It's like,
what is that?
So this is mean? Fate, I guess.
Right. Which, like, okay. But again, it's not like we have a connection. I think we deserve to explore. Again, it's like we have a connection. We're, like, bound together. And in any universe, we would have found each other. And I was like, ah. That feels like a bit of a stretch.
So.
It was a little bit of a stretch, but, like, okay. I mean,
yeah.
It's another thing that I think got me is it would have made more sense if they had explicitly defined how long she would be in Japan, if they were saying, like, because they're saying, oh, you got this travel grant or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, is how long is the grant? Is it 6 weeks? Is it 6 months?
Right.
Is it 18 months? Like, how long was she going to be gone? Because that's going to make a pretty big difference. Like, I can understand if Amelia was upset because she thought, like, oh, she's leaving and I don't know when I'll ever see her again. And Danny's like, hey, this is going to be for 2 months. Like,
yeah.
I think we can make this work. I'm going to be gone for 2 months and then I'm going to come back or whatever. But, like, I feel like you could say, like, we could try to make the long distance work, or I'll leave in a few months. I won't leave for at least, you know, 6 months, so we can see where we are then. And I think it could be whatever. But, like, there's not any clear details about, like, what that would even look like, so it's hard to understand how much of a commitment they're actually making.
Right. Have you ever seen the Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds movie The Proposal?
Have I seen it, ma'am? So many times.
Silly question.
Embarrassing, so, like, actually.
At the end of that movie, they're like, hey, we should get divorced so we can date. And I kind of wish that's the direction they had gone with here, of, like, we should break up so we can date. So we can, like,
right.
start over and properly explore this connection. With all our cards on the table and with everybody knowing that it's real or whatever.
Right, like, you know, like, I think it was cute, like, they made the comments about their star signs and whatever on their, like, first meeting and how, like, it's so rare that those signs are ever meant to work. And, like, again, it could have been a thing where they brought that back and are like, hi, I'm this person and this is my sign. And, oh, well, I'm this. Oh, okay, well, are we willing to, like, let's try anyway, or like, I don't, yeah. Like, there's stuff that they did that I'm like, this would have been really cute. I'm not mad at the direction that the movie went. It just surprised me because I thought they were building towards one level of connection and then they really jumped to something else and I was like, oh, all right.
They really jumped the shark. I mean, it really, I was quite taken aback, by the way. Like, the whole thing, I thought it was cute with the, like, I'm gonna take this bear to the run, to where she's running, and, yeah. Like, the overinvested dads are gonna be on the phone trying to figure out how to, like, trying to coordinate this, like, the dad is, Amelia's dad's, like, trying to stop her, and all this stuff. Like, I was like, this is cute, I'm so on board with, like, a big love confession of, like, I wanna date you. I'm sad that this thing we did is over now. Like, I'm here for that. Let's do it. And then it's like, we're soulmates.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, sure.
You lesbians. God, you're so dramatic about it. Like,
I know. I was like,
have you considered going on a real date first?
It's funny, too, because so in the last movie that we watched, The Christmas Setup, it felt like from the jump, they had such a deep connection and were so interested in one another. And they're talking about, like, you know, making big gestures. Like, Patrick is talking about going to London to, like, you know, be there with Hugo or whatever. And then at the end, it was such an, like, it almost felt like very undercommitted. They were just like, yeah, we'll try. We'll see what happens. And I was like, for a movie that has made me believe that you guys are, like, soulmates and are meant to be together and, like, are so bonded and are so willing to make this work, you didn't really make any kind of actual commitment to one another. Right. And then I turned around and watched this movie and I was like, oh, like, this, you know, they're figuring it out. Maybe they'll realize they're ready to date. And then at the end they were like, we should be together. We're like soulmates. And I was like, where did that come from?
I know. I messaged you and I think it was like, wait, are they moving in together? They just met. It's been like, it can't have been more than a week or so.
Right.
A week or two. Right.
U-Haul lesbians for the win.
Like, I mean, I guess
that's
like,
the representation we're
the
getting.
The timeline of this movie is a little funky because it seems like there's just an event every single night. After event after event. And I'm like, okay, I guess, but...
Also, they kind of make it seem like Amelia just, like... At first, they make her seem like she's really busy. And that's part of why she has no interest or time in, like, meeting someone. And then she just basically doesn't ever work or do anything. She just is there with Danny all the time. And I was like...
Right, she's just always available for all these plans.
Right. I was like, don't you have work to do?
Meanwhile, Danny is the busiest person and can't say no to anybody and just keeps doing stuff. And I really thought they were going to make that more of a thing where, like, Amelia had to be more like, oh, like,
right.
Is this someone who, even if I like her, is she going to have time for me? Like, even if right. she's here, am I ever going to see her? And, like, what is this?
Yeah.
Am I just going to be dragged to these... to these things where she won't even talk, like, she doesn't have time to talk to me because she's so busy doing other stuff. I sort of thought they were gonna lean in more to that and the sort of pining of, like, well, we're here together, but we're not really here together.
Right. And it's hard because, like, we literally watch Danny work through, like, all of their dates. Like...
Right.
They go to do the Christmas tree thing with her parents, and Danny fully leaves her with her parents to go deal with stuff at the lab. And, like, they go to get the bear because Danny is doing work for getting the donations. And they go to the lantern lighting thing, and Danny is over there helping one of her colleagues instead of being, like, present with Amelia during the date. And, like, they do the final party where they, like, reveal all of the stuff, and it's literally Danny's reveal of her project. Like, she's right. working and taking all the photos while everyone else is having a good time. Like, they're hardly actually spending quality time together on these dates.
Yes, correct. And then yet they're like, it's us, we're in love. It's like,
and I appreciate that at least
exchanged.
I appreciate that at least once or twice we get the sense that, like, Amelia's helping Danny with doing things, so she's, like, less stressed. But I wish that there was something about, like, Amelia helping Danny figure out ways to, like, slow down, appreciate things more, say no to things, like, figure out what she wants to do for herself. And instead it's just, like, she's just watching her continue to serve other people.
Right. That was a little, like, I feel like I would not maybe want to date Danny, because I would feel like she's always going to prioritize other people over me.
Yeah, it was just a little odd. Another thing that really got me was, so we know that Amelia and Margot broke up, and we keep hearing references to this, like, very painful breakup, but they don't really actually explore what happened until quite late in the movie. And then it's basically just like, I was too busy and she felt like she was being ignored, and so she dumped me. And it was close to Christmas, and I'm very sad about it. And I'm like, not to be dismissive of your breakup at all, I understand this person was very important to you and you loved her, but from, like, a movie storytelling perspective, it just felt underwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, you really built this up as, like, the breakup, and then that was just, like, she just didn't get enough attention. So, and like, not to be dismissive of, like, Margot necessarily or her reasons or whatever. It just, like, I don't know. There was just something that I was like, oh, that, okay, all right, well. And it was hard because it didn't even cause Danny any, like, any reflection of her own self and the fact that she was being too busy to spend quality time with, like, her family, right, or her friends. Right. It was like, ma'am.
Plus, there was
there's
the
a
whole,
lesson there.
The whole, like, Kylie thing.
Oh my god. Kylie. Oh, Kylie. Wow. She was... How do we feel about her? Before I say anything, how do you feel about her?
I mean, she's got some audacity, that girl, to be like, oh my god, your mom is is my favorite famous author. Hi, can you give her my book?
What really got me is, like, what really got me about this movie, specifically with Danny and Kylie, is Danny has no boundaries, and Kylie just doesn't seem to have, like, awareness of, yeah, like, other people's limits or needs. So, like, she's doing a very good job of not overstretching herself, saying, like, oh, I need to leave, oh, I need to do this, I can do so much for this and that's it, or I want these things and asking for them. But, like, because Danny is so giving, it kind of makes Kylie seem selfish, almost.
Well, because she's like, oh my, like, god, I love this, I would definitely want to be involved with this. And then immediately she's like, but I can't actually do any of this or this or this or this or this.
Right, I'm not good at a budget. I'm not going to be free to do that. I'm not available to pick this up. I'm like, and I'm like, there has to be a middle ground, right? There has to be an example of a woman in a movie that, like, is specifically about these women in love. Like, I just felt like there wasn't a good representation of a woman who was giving and also, like, had boundaries. Like, it was one or the other, and I was like,
right.
I didn't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that anybody in this movie had particularly good boundaries, honestly. Like, at no point did anyone display good use of boundaries, except maybe Margot, who was
right,
not really appearing in this movie.
Right, like, it just, again, we're being super hypercritical because we're, like, dissecting this movie instead of just sitting and watching it with a cup of cocoa and moving on with our lives without a lot of thought. Like, it is a very cute movie. I did enjoy watching it. But since we're being, like, critical of it, there were just several things that the more I thought about it, the more I was like, well, that's hard. Oh man, that kind of got me. Oh, like, right, that is a whole thing. And it's not any better or worse, again, than a lot of the Hallmark level movies we see with like cishet couples. I have so many things I could say about expressions of boundaries in like typical Hallmark movies. But yeah, it just like, it really got me because the whole time there was like, I'm like, man, Kylie, you're kind of bothering me. And I was like having to ask myself, like, am I bothered because she's being like protecting her own like limits, or am I bothered because I feel like she's actually being inconsiderate?
That is a good question, isn't it?
And I think it was like both, but I think she felt a lot more inconsiderate because of the way Danny acted. And I think because Danny set a precedent that it was her job to do everything and Kylie was just helping, like, as she felt good, like, up to doing or whatever, like she could just jump in and do what she wanted to help rather than like establishing how they were going to actually do things and like what she needed from her and like holding her to any kind of like expectation as an actual partner. It made it seem like it was Danny's job to do the thing and Kylie was just volunteering to help her versus them actually doing it together. And so there was part of me that was like, okay, I do feel like Kylie's being inconsiderate because she's not realizing that she needs to take more responsibility for this. But also it's kind of on Danny for not communicating better that she needs more help than this.
Right. Well, and like, I think one of the things that bugged me about Kylie is that she had good boundaries for her, like, her own time and self, but then she would, like, I don't know, she was like, read my book.
Right, she had unrealistic expectations for other people and what they could or would do for her. Like, I can't fault her for being like, hey, would your mom consider doing this for me? Like, you know, she saw the opportunity and she took it, and, like, that is very much the energy of like a mediocre white man. That's how you get places, apparently.
It's true.
But for her to show up with like an 800 page manuscript when you're thinking she's going to show up with a few, you know, pages of poetry is like quite unexpected. And to basically say, could you read this over Christmas? Is like,
right.
And ask. Then
like her, she sort of can't read the room because she brings up Margot and is talking about her.
Which, like, to be fair, she did not know anything about the stuff with Amelia, but, like, yeah, she does not understand that Amelia is, like, not reacting well to this at all.
Right. Right, yeah.
So interesting. And her, like, dropping the news on everyone that, you know, Danny got the travel grant and basically, like, ruining that whole potential moment with her and Amelia. I'm like, Kylie, shut your mouth. That is not your news to tell. Like,
right. Like, could you actually maybe not do that?
And then they celebrate friends and family Christmas, and she's invited to Christmas, and notably Quinn is not there. I had so many questions. I was
like, wait, do we like Kylie that much? How well do we know Kylie?
I was like, what are we doing here? Why are you at Christmas?
I guess friends and extended coworker Christmas. Friends, family, and extended coworkers.
It genuinely would make more sense to me if I felt like Danny knew Kylie better. Like, if they were, if she was like, this is one of my best friends, and she just happens to also be a person who, like, is a little bit thoughtless or, like, forget, like, you know, doesn't think about things all the way through before she says them or whatever. But, like, you know that they're not that close because Kylie didn't even know who Danny's mother was. Like,
right.
She didn't know that her mom was a writer. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I do like Amelia's best friend, though.
Yeah, Quinn. I like Quinn her a lot. Great.
I liked Quinn. She was like, you go get your woman. Like, what's stopping you, girl?
She's like, put your big girl panties on and go do the thing. Stop being, like, all pathetic about it. Like, you have got this.
Right.
Yeah, she's really delightful about it. It is funny because she, like, does bring up the whole thing, though, of, like, oh, the last day is tomorrow, but maybe we can, maybe you could renegotiate. And then, like, right. they're just standing there in, like, horror. And she's like, I said, maybe you could renegotiate.
Like, she's so good. I love her. So much. She's like, it's my favorite.
Like, she doesn't actually deliver it like that, but that is her entire attitude. It's like, I don't know why you guys are freaking out. It's not that hard.
Right.
I appreciate her. Like, we don't know anything about her other than that she's an attorney there, but I can definitely imagine her being, like, married and having, like, six children and just being, like, so in control of her life and so organized and just like, yes, no, I'm having a great time. I am so happy because I know what I want, and, like, I do the thing. You need to get on the same page as me.
She's the perfect, like, no-nonsense friend who's just gonna tell you exactly how it is and not sugarcoat it. Like, she's not gonna be like, okay, sweetie, we need to start. No, she's just like, are you dumb?
Right, like, okay, I need you to get here with me. I just need you to consider what I'm telling you. Okay, with love, grow up.
Right.
She's fantastic. I do think it's cute that they do the whole thing with the peppermint and how basically Danny is obsessed with peppermint and Amelia's like, this is disgusting. And then by the end, she's like, Dad, I drank it with peppermint. And I'm like, it's my favorite now. And I'm like, you have been drinking that, again, for maybe a couple of days. Like,
right. Double peppermint hot chocolate is Danny's go-to drink, and black coffee is Amelia's. And then by the end, Amelia's like, it's Danny's favorite drink, and now mine. And I'm like, that's a swift departure. But also, does this just mean you've never had fun? Like, do you just not try things?
I think that's what we're learning about her, is she just, like, doesn't do things or venture out or, like...
She doesn't do things for herself.
She doesn't have a life. Like, and she just then, doesn't have a life.
So I guess she's just fine, like, being somebody's... They're too busy to hang out with her person. Girl, have some standards for yourself.
No, because they're soulmates. Clearly, like, they're destined to be together. She might as well just, like, accept it.
If someone I barely knew and had set up this kind of thing with showed up in the park with a giant stuffed bear while I was on a run, which is a thing I do. I am a runner.
Ugh.
And was like, hey, look, I took this picture of you a few years ago. I would be like, I would just run away. I would just be like, back right. to my run. Goodbye.
You and I literally had a discussion about this the other day in our DMs because we were talking about something. You're like, I'm fun. I go on runs. And I was like, ma'am, you are so fun. That is not one of the things about you that makes you a fun person. Like, it's not a good argument. I love you so much, but, like, saying you're a runner is not the same thing. And that's what I feel like about Amelia when I watch this. She's the kind of person that would literally say that.
I'm pretty sure she does. That's what she says. She says that in the movie.
No, that's just, please don't. That's not it. I'm like,
that's what she says in the movie.
I'm like, you could be, like, you do, you are, you can be fun. I believe it. I believe that inside of you somewhere is a very fun person. Being a runner is not an example of that, though. Like,
it's very rude of you.
I love you so much. But you know I'm not wrong.
Running makes me a more fun person because it helps with the anxiety.
Okay, I believe that, but, like, the running itself is not, like, what I would consider a fun activity or a thing that people would look at and be like, I don't think a person would just be like, this person is so fun, they're a runner. Like, I just can't. I can't imagine that being a thing someone says, ever. If that's how someone describes you... If they're like, she's so fun, she's a runner. Like, we need to have a whole conversation about their definition of fun. You're fun for a lot of other reasons, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would definitely put podcaster above runner.
Okay, well, I probably would also do that. fun.
Comic genius, podcaster. Runner's like closer to the bottom of the list, but anyway.
Daniela's boss is an interesting character. Talk about her for a second.
Yes, Lisa is very interesting. And honestly, I liked her. Like, she's really trying to be, she's kind of like the no-nonsense person in Danny's life, where we have Quinn for Amelia. And it's clear she really wants good things for Danny and, like, believes in her art.
Yes. She definitely does. And she's definitely willing to sort of push Daniela a little bit to be like, hey, you, what are you gonna do? Like, you are capable of this. Like, I chose you to be part of this fellowship internship thing for a reason. Like,
right, get it together. And it's not even like, it's not even like a, you owe us some kind of thing. Like, the lab expects you to put something out because you, it's not like a minimum creativity, whatever sort of thing where it's like, you signed on to do this many projects and you haven't done this. It's like, you came here to develop your skills and, like, build up your portfolio as an artist, and you're not making the best use of that. You're allowing yourself to get distracted and focusing more on other things than on your own development as an artist. And, like, you owe it to yourself to use this opportunity to actually do things for you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like her approach to it. It could it could easily have been not that good.
Yeah, and it's nice that she's so excited to help Danny obtain opportunities to do things that, again, focus on her career and not necessarily the benefit of the lab. Like, yes, the charity events and stuff are for the lab, but, like, her being so excited for Danny to do these travel grants and stuff, like, that's not money that the lab gets. That's specifically money and employment for Danny. And, like, Lisa would lose her help and volunteer work there if she goes to another country and is doing stuff. And she's clearly okay with that because she's like, it's not about keeping you here. It's about this being a step in your journey to help you grow as an artist.
Yeah. She wants Danny to improve. So she's so excited about the grant at the end. Like, she's really excited about this program. And she's like, this is a big deal for you and your career.
Yes. Yeah. What did you think of, like, of Danny's, like, photography concept?
I mean, it seems like a concept. I don't know that I felt they did enough build up to, like, make it make sense for me.
Yeah, I felt like I liked what they did because it, like, felt like it fit the theme of, like, friends and family over the holidays and everything. And she had some really beautiful photos. Part of me struggled a little bit because, like, they made the comments about she's done, like, wedding photography and, like, the struggle that was. And, I mean, obviously these photos were not, like, posed. But there was a little bit something about what she was doing at the party that I was like, I kind of feel like this is, like, wedding reception photography-ish. Or, like, a creative thing I could see a photographer doing at a wedding reception where you plug it in and, like, go around and take active photos and put them up as you go. Because that's what it was, essentially. It was, like, live photography.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know that there's necessarily anything, like, super wrong with that, but it was not, I don't know.
They did this whole thing about repeating the idea of, like, emotion in motion, and I wish they had leaned a little more into, like, what that concept meant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with that.
it would have been nice to see more of that. I guess because I feel like Danny doesn't express a lot of feelings about Amelia that much until, like, later in the movie, and I think it would have been nice to see more of that. So, like, I think if they had tied that concept in a little more, but even when she presents her the photo in the park, like, it's a still photo.
Yeah.
Of her just, like, sitting on the bench.
Yeah, there wasn't... I feel like maybe it would have been nice to get more reflection on what the actual emotion she was seeing.
Yeah. Was.
And how it sort of translated to motion for her.
Yeah. Okay, well, was there anything else about this movie that, like, really stood out to you that we haven't kind of talked about?
Look, I mean, look, it was cute. Like, it was fun. It was diverting. I did like that the mom did actually go all in on reading this book.
Yes. Yeah, I like that she ended up really liking it and having, like, a whole thing about it. I do also like that it was, the mom was Latina, and then, so we have, like, essentially a white and Latina woman couple, and then we also have, like, a white woman, Latina woman couple, so there's, like, some right. diversity there.
We did have, I will say, yeah, there was a lot of diversity, racial diversity in the movie, which right. I love. Especially, yep. like, even at the law firm, there was stuff going yeah. on, and I feel like we don't always get that.
Yeah, because, like, Kylie was black, Tanner was Asian, Quinn was clearly, like, Indian or Middle Eastern, and, like, it was just nice to have, like, all of that there, and also, like, to have them speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, like, we're getting some representation for that in this movie. Like, it felt really good to see.
I did like that, yeah, and that it wasn't just, like, two white women who fell in love, like, we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, something a little different than that, which is nice, because a lot of these movies, it's like, well, we can't have intersectionality.
Right. And they even had some, like, of the Christmas traditions they did that were clearly, like, mm-hmm. Rooted in, like, Latin culture, so, like, that was really fun.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I thought that that was a good choice for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, they did at least a few things that I think... I mean, again, like, we had a fun time. It was a cute movie.
Yes.
It was not a movie that was intended to be examined this way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I feel like sometimes it's like, I'm having a great time talking about it, but also maybe I'm doing a little bit of a disservice to the movie by, like...
Right. Maybe I shouldn't... Maybe this movie isn't the movie I should talk about so much.
Too late. Already done.
Did it.
Speaking of talking about movies, though, so next week we're going to be back with a movie called Looking for Her, which is another Christmas movie that includes fake dating tropes among a sapphic couple. So, yeah, I'm excited to come back and, like, maybe do some compare and contrast and talk about another story with similar tropes. But I will say... I brought this up before we started recording, and I wanted to take a second to talk about it here, because when I was planning what movies I thought we should cover in December, there were so many options that, you know, I was finding on the internet of, oh, this movie was made, and, oh, like, we're finally getting this queer movie, and I was like, hey, like, there's actually a list. It's still not anywhere near, you know, obviously just the level of hetero, like, Christmas movies. They've been coming out for decades, and, you know, we've only started getting queer Christmas movies within the past few years that center queer couples.
Right.
So it's not, like, a long list, but it's a list. So I was excited to check a few of them out, and then as I started looking for them to watch, they were really difficult to find. like, into actually access.
I noticed, like, I had to get a Hallmark Plus subscription to watch.
Yeah.
Free trial to watch Friends and Family Christmas, which, like, it's really hard to, all of these things, like, are movies that are harder to find if they're available at right. all on streaming.
Right. A lot of them aren't available on streaming, and the ones that are, you have to have, like, special access to, or you have to pay for them individually. They're not, like, included in the actual streaming service.
Right.
Which is wild to me, because a lot of standard, like, holiday movies are just there. They're just on the platform. So it made it difficult to actually access movies to watch, which is why we had originally planned on watching a different movie for our first one we covered, and then we changed it, because I just, like, couldn't access that movie, anywhere. And I just, I know we've talked about, like, the style of the writing and the fact that so much of it matches, the, like, level of writing we get in other typical, like, Lifetime or Hallmark Christmas movies with hetero couples. But I wanted to take a second and just, like, ask you what you think of the fact that it's just so much harder to access a lot of these queer Christmas movies, even though we've, like, started to get more of them.
I mean, it's frustrating. Like, it's really frustrating to say, like, to feel like, oh, we're finally making things. Oh, we can't get them. We can't actually access them. And I think it's one of those things that then contributes to something that I think we've talked maybe a little bit about before, but, like, how much higher the bar is for queer media to, like, get more of it. And it's like,
right,
you'll see that that studios and networks and stuff like that will basically, it seems like you can feel a lack of commitment from them because they'll have things and they just, like, won't market them.
Yeah.
In a way yeah. that makes them accessible to people. So, like, they've done that. There was I forget what, like, Pixar, Disney, one of those, like, I don't know. It was a movie that they, like, came out that was gonna have a really diverse group of characters, like, lots of different backgrounds and ethnicities and races and stuff like that, and they, like, just didn't really promote it very much, and so it didn't mm-hmm. do very well. And then the networks and sort of people will use that to say, well, people don't want this kind of story. And it's like, no, we do, we just don't know about it because you won't actually put anything in, you won't put any, you expect us to magically know about this stuff, but you won't put any effort into marketing it or making it accessible for us, and so we can't get it. And then we find out about it later once you've already been like, well, people don't like this kind of stuff.
Right.
Put a little effort in.
Right, and then you've made it where, like, well, if it's not worth keeping on the streaming service, I'll remove it, or I'll make it for, like, cost only. You have to pay for it individually. And I'm like, it's already hard enough when stuff is not available on, you know, physical media anymore. It's not like I can get it on DVD or on Blu-ray and, like, have a copy for myself. And then we're relying on streaming services for access to media at all, and they have complete control over whether they'll even put it up for you. So, sure, the stuff got made, but I can't watch it. It's just, yeah, it's really frustrating. It's particularly frustrating to me because, so, like, the show Heated Rivalry is coming out right now as we speak. Yes. Obviously, it's a holiday season. And that show is, like, number one on HBO right now. It is making huge numbers. It's already gotten renewed for another season. It's, like, blown up. It's clear there's an audience for queer stories. And we saw the same thing with Red, White, and Royal Blue. When it went on Amazon, it had huge attention. So many people were watching that movie. It was, like, the number one streamed rom-com on the platform.
And we were two of those people.
We were definitely contributing to those numbers.
We contributed to way more than two of those views.
And it's notable, I mean, like, literally, that's the movie that kicked off our podcast. That was the first thing we covered, was the book and the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, a year and a half ago. And I just, like, because it was impactful, and because it was accessible to us, like, we could actually watch it and talk about it, and I'm like, it blows my mind that anytime they actually do make and promote a thing properly and put it out there, we see such massive reception and such clear interest and such unprecedented success for that piece of media. And I'm like, take the hint. Like, what do we need to do to make it so clear? We want this so badly, and we will give you our money. Like, please,
right,
give
like,
it to us.
Take my money. Take my money.
Right, like,
provide me
like,
with
what
interesting
do I need
merch.
To do?
Give me interesting things to watch.
And I feel like maybe that sounds ridiculous to say, take my money, as I'm also saying, I'm frustrated that these things are stuff I have to pay for separately. But it's like, I would pay separately for those things. I am clearly paying separately because I'm accessing them. Some of them I can't even pay for.
Right.
Like the stuff that we wanted to cover, I couldn't even find to pay for.
Correct.
Like, that's ridiculous to me. So,
correct.
I don't know. I guess if anyone has any suggestions on ways to access some of these movies that we just, like, aren't aware of or can't find, then come let us know. Because, you know, as far as, like, I would sit and watch all of the Christmas movies, but I just, like, half of them I can't even find. So, I don't know. I'm excited to talk about the one that we're going to talk about next week, though, and I'm glad we've at least been able to talk about the ones we've watched. So.
Yes, me too. But it is frustrating that the barriers to access are so much higher.
Yeah.
With a lot of this stuff.
Right. Like, I just want to be able to turn on my streaming service and type in, like, Christmas movies, and I want gay movies to also be included on the list and be accessible. Like,
yeah, excuse me, how am I supposed to celebrate the holidays under these conditions?
Right. Correct. How?
I am trying to have the fruitiest time here, and yet I am being blocked.
Right. It, like, stop trying to gatekeep me. Let me just enjoy my merry gay time. Like, it's all I'm asking.
It's the phrase is merry gayness for a reason.
It's literally the gayest time of the year. Let us enjoy it.
Don we now our gay apparel. Like,
correct.
I didn't even have, like, to change the word for that one.
Like, ugh. Anyway. So, yeah. If you have more recommendations, I mean, obviously we're covering this next movie, and then the following Wednesday is our fifth Wednesday, so we're going to be having some special discussions to wrap up the end of the year. But we definitely want to watch the movies. So if you guys have recommendations on queer Christmas movies and have recommendations on where to actually access them, then please let us know, because we're clearly having a hard time and we need to find ways to make it easier for ourselves.
Yes, that's correct. So please do those things for us. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. Happy holidays. We'll be back.
Yep. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye. Totally Normal About That is a podcast hosted and produced by Lucia and Mel. Are you feeling totally normal about something we talked about today? Is there a piece of media you feel totally normal about? We want to hear about it. You can find us on Twitter at
totallynormalat, or you can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying these episodes, please leave us a rating or review on your podcast app of choice. Thanks!